listener exclusive. It's Triple
M Breakfast. Matt Collins for Breakfast, the podcast edition.
G'day, Matt Collins from Triple M Brekkie, and it's great to hang out with you on the podcast edition. This is our weekly chat with Journo Jarks, the best journalist in our region, and we're lucky to have him on the show each and every week to keep us up to date on the stories making news. This week, the latest on the Griffith Winery that has all the makings of a great Netflix series, the Independent Liquor and Gaming Authority in Griffith earlier this week, and the good journo quizzed the regulator on why Dan Murphy's has been blocked a number of times and why the increase in pokies, and what Journo Jarks found out after being in the courtroom for these Carrathool Street shootings. Let's get straight to it. Here he is, Oliver Jarks from Region Riverina, the best journo in town, Journo Jarks. 13 past 7, Riverina MIA's 963 Triple M. Matt Collins with you for Brekkie. Good morning to you. All thanks to our mates at Dom's Motors. Dom's Motors Subaru, home of the legendary Subaru WRX. Head over to the website domsmotors.com.au. I want to give you the clue, our second clue to today's Choco Chase, because I know you're hanging for it, but I also want to introduce Journo Jarks to the show. Good morning to you, Journo Jarks.
Good morning. Great to be here.
I just gave you the second clue. You think you've got an idea?
I do. I think I know it.
You're warm.
I'm warm.
All right. Well, not many people are this morning because it's quite chilly.
Freezing, yeah.
Let's give everyone the second clue. The second clue is to where today's hypothetical Easter eggs are hidden. First clue was great views. The second clue, take a picnic lunch. Take a picnic lunch is the second clue. Any ideas where today's landmark is? Somewhere in the MIA, anywhere, could be anything. Let me know. Journo Jarks, let's get into this because some big stories, some serious stories in there as well. And, well, it's the gift that keeps on giving for you, isn't it? It could become a Netflix series, this Griffith Winery.
I've heard some rumours that Netflix producers have been on the lookout for this series. It's the Griffith Winery Saint-Paris. I think in Australian you'd say Sans-Pariel. But I did a story on the judgment on Friday, which actually got 24,000 reads, which is pretty much everyone in Griffith.
And that's the highest...
The highest Region Riverina has ever gotten
ever
for
had.
A story. Yeah, which
wow.
is so there's an amazing interest in it. We heard that the judge ruled basically that Aaron Silvestrin, the former company director, had to pay back $8.4 million to the company, which is in liquidation, so that money would go to creditors. They ruled that basically he made a number of expenses allegedly that were personal and not related to the wine business. So if you're a company director, you can't spend funds on personal things.
We spoke about that last week, didn't we? What, PlayStations?
PlayStation. And... allegedly, there was a transaction to OnlyFans. Have you ever heard of the website OnlyFans?
No idea what you're talking about,
Oliver. No idea, yeah.
Oliver?
Okay, of course, sure. He denies, obviously.
Is that fans and air cons and cooling equipment, is it? OnlyFans?
Yeah, I think there's probably tennis-related stuff there too. Who knows? Fitness instructors.
Moving right along, please.
Yeah, anyway, he says that they were fraudulently done, but... the judge ruled that he'd have to pay that back. We know that the winery, digging into court documents, $200 million worth of sales of wines. Mm. They claim to have bought, allegedly, but they never actually bought. And that was all to sort of, apparently or allegedly, to obtain GST refunds. So if I buy $1 million of wine from you, I have to pay GST on that.
Of course.
But if I export that wine that I bought off of you...
No GST.
GST only applies to domestic sales. So I can then go to the tax office and say, can I get this back? So,
because I didn't need to pay GST on that.
Yeah.
On those. I see.
So it's a very interesting case.
As you say, lots of interest, 24,000 reads on that story that you put together. Well done. What's the next step with that?
Well, we don't know what else is happening. I've spoken to the ATO and the Australian Federal Police. They've refused to comment on whether there's going to be further investigations. Mm. We have to make it clear that there's been no criminal charges laid against Mr. Silvestrin or the winery at all. The case was in the civil court, which means it relates to property or money, so it's not a criminal matter. So we wait and see what might happen.
All right. Now, this is what you might call a first-hand view or a bird's eye view, because in regards to these alleged Griffith shooting, the Carathool Street alleged shooting, you were in the courtroom yesterday.
Yes,
there
was actually two separate hearings for two men who were accused, I guess, of being involved in this alleged shooting that happened on Carathool Street on Saturday night. The lawyer actually pleaded for bail for both. One had just had a newborn baby, and apparently his wife was quite ill, had problems with the birth, so there was an argument made that he needed to be there to look after his partner and baby. The other man promised to stay with his mum and have her supervise him, but the judge rejected both those arguments. So bail was rejected for both the two men who were accused of the alleged shooting on Carathool Street.
So they will stay, to your knowledge, I think it's the end of May. So that's a good 2 months away now that they will be locked up until then. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, they both actually appeared via video link in the court. They didn't actually come to the Griffith courtroom. Right. They appeared via video link from Junie Correctional Facility. But both will remain there until the next hearing, which is in May, where they'll again appear by video link.
Any ideas why it takes... I've spoken to the police inspector about this, and I wonder, getting it from your point of view as a journalist, why 2 months before this is heard in court again?
There's probably a lot of evidence. There's still, I believe, a third person that, in relation to this, that is being investigated. A lot of evidence has to be gathered, forensic evidence and tests and that sort of thing. So, and there's also a hell of a lot of matters going on in the court. I think yesterday there was probably about 40 or 50 matters listed.
Goodness,
so there's a lot of stuff happening in the courts as well. So, it's pretty hard to get things through things quickly.
As a journalist, you spend a lot of time in the local courtroom?
I do. It's a fascinating place.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine. What goes on in your head when you're sitting there? Are you alongside these people that are going to be seen in court that day, or is there a media area? How does it work?
I do. No, I just sit back in the public area. I am alongside a lot of people. They get called. There's a number of matters that usually go through in a few hours. You might see up to 20 matters.
And it might be a drink driving thing.
A lot of drink driving, a lot of drugs,
right.
A lot of domestic violence. They tend to be the three probably most popular
and
things.
And does they know that you are media, that you are a journalist?
I hope not. Well, they probably do. They're probably hoping that I don't report on them, I guess.
Well, you probably shouldn't be there in the first place, these, you know, all alleged, of course. But, don't do the crime, you won't do the time sort of thing.
That's right, yeah.
Moving right along, this Dan Murphy's, we spoke about it last week. And you've done some more digging, Journo Jux.
Well, the regulator was actually in town, the chair of the Independent Liquor and Gaming Authority, Caroline Lamb. She came to Griffith to meet with people and explain what she does. Now, there's two burning issues, I guess, in Griffith that have confused people. The Independent Liquor and Gaming Authority makes decisions on whether a new liquor license can be approved, a new bottle shop can come to Griffith, and it also makes a decision on poker machines, whether a club can get more poker machines.
Right.
So they're two big things. The curious thing is, people are wondering first, why did Dan Murphy's, the most popular...
It's been knocked back now a couple of times.
Knocked back twice. And also, why do clubs keep getting more poker machines too? There's been sort of applications approved for more poker machines. There's been an increase in poker machines across the state when the state government says that they're trying to reduce harm.
It was one of Labor's big things, wasn't it, when they got into...
To reduce harm from gambling, but still the number of pokies are growing. And, I asked her about that. On the pokies question, she said that it's been a bit of a correction since COVID. So everyone blames COVID for everything, you know. She said that there are less pokies than pre-pandemic lessons, but a lot of clubs have bought back pokies because they closed during COVID. I don't know what you make of that, Matt.
Right.
But I think about $100 million was lost to poker machines in Griffith, Leeton and this broader area in the last financial years. It's a lot of money that people are losing. Yeah.
But it's not like the pokies were taken anywhere, I'm assuming. People just weren't using them.
Well, people weren't using them because maybe the licenses might have expired, the entitlements may have expired and they got them back. I don't really buy that argument. It's clear that in the last year, 600 there's been an increase of 600, 700 pokies in the state, which is a very bizarre trend, given the government says that they're trying to reduce
600, 700%?
No, 600, 700 machines. Pokies. Yes, it's gone from, say, 86,700 to about 87,300, right? The number of pokies statewide, which is a lot of pokies. It's a hell of a lot of pokies for a worldwide. New South Wales is the pokies capital of the world. Really.
600 or 700?
Increase in the number of poke machines.
Yeah, yeah.
To take
the state, though, that doesn't seem all that many.
That's not that many, but when you consider there were already 86,600 poke machines across New South Wales, you know, we should be going down rather than up.
All right, what about the Dan Murphy's question?
Well, the Dan Murphy's, I was curious because the authority in their decision said that domestic violence, Griffith's high domestic violence rate, was a big factor in knocking back that application.
But now, you can't blame one particular bottle shop for such a, you know, a big issue, which is a big issue in our patch, but let's face it, it's a big issue around the country.
Well, exactly. And in Wagga, for example, they have a higher domestic violence rate than Griffith.
And a Dan Murphy.
And a Dan Murphy. So I quizzed her on that. She said there's a multitude of factors. They look at the population. They look at community feedback. There were some community groups who were a bit concerned about a sixth liquor outlet coming to Griffith. But she didn't give me quite a straight answer. She said that was the decision.
Why was she in town again?
I think she's just here to show herself in Griffith to explain what she does. She had some consultation with some community groups, I believe with council too. So, yeah.
The chair of the Independent Liquor and Gaming Authority was in Griffith. How do you find out about such a thing?
Well, it's funny. They gave us about 12 hours notice that she was coming and I got a media release. Yeah, so not a lot of time should have been publicised a bit more so people could have had the opportunity to question her and her authority on the decisions they're making, because they are big decisions.
They certainly are. Yeah. And we're glad you are able to be there and have that opportunity. That's why you are the best, Journo Jarks. We love your work.
Thank you very much.
Well done to Robin Meehan as well. Birthday this week.
67. What an incredible club treasurer she is.
Still doing her thing on the tennis court.
Yeah. I mean, she's like, you would think she was 16, the way she leaps and gets volleys, and she's a brilliant athlete. And you saw the cake that she got last night too.
That's where I was incredible. Going with this. Yeah. Who made that cake?
Xavier, of course, the master chef, the French master chef. A big cake made out of a racket. You can see that on the Griffith Tennis Club Facebook page.
Go and check it out. And join Griffith Tennis Club if you want to get diabetes.
Yeah, it's the only sporting club in the world where you will gain weight playing a sport. I mean, that's pretty special, isn't it?
It certainly is, and so are you. We'll talk next week.
Thank you.
25 past 7 here on Triple M.
The best way to start your day in Rankin Springs. It's Matt Collins for breakfast on 963 Triple M.
A listener exclusive.